You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of July 18th, 2017, and episode number 322. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Now, if you're listening live, yes, it's July 22nd, not July 18th, but I had a little hiccup here at the studio on my end. And, computers, they do whatever they want to do when they want to do it, and had a little Microsoft meltdown, but everything is operational as of right now. So we're back on the air and doing a Saturday night special here for the Paranormal News Insider, bringing you the news 4 days late. But nonetheless, hopefully there's some stuff here that you have not heard. And this is going to kind of build towards next Tuesday. It's going to be a short week between this episode and next week's episode. I guess it's kind of this week, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe you do Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday. Some people do Sunday through Friday. I don't know. I don't know what day of the week it is anymore. This week's news includes the Chicago phantom sightings continue. A bit of monkey business in Florida. SETI just wants some frickin' laser beams. That's frickin' for FCC out there. History Channel gets the facts wrong, and we'll also have the book of the week and a lot of other information coming to you. But first, I want to let you know this episode is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is actually the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics, to quantum physics, to cosmology, to psychic phenomena. Metaphysical humanistic science, also called metaphysical humanism, is simply our term for the study of metaphysics focused on understanding and enhancing the human condition and all that it encompasses. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Always a mouthful, that promo. I'm a couple days late. It's my fault. We're ready to go. Just kind of sitting around looking at my show notes prior to going on the show, and all of a sudden my computer just decided to go into lag mode, and I couldn't get anything to work, couldn't click on anything, and couldn't bring anything up, and kind of panicked and was not level-headed about it at all, but I couldn't get anything working, and it took me about 2-3 days to kind of get everything operational once again. But we're here and we're ready to go, and you know, technology is wonderful when it works, and when it doesn't work, it's a real pain in the rear end. And, technology has just come so far. It's ridiculous. I have a friend that I work with, and he's pretty young. He's not even, I don't think he's 20, even 20 yet, just out of high school. And I was talking to him. I was like, you know, my Amazon account is older than you. That's just scary. I don't know if that makes me old or what, but, it's just weird when you think back to technology and how far it's come. And cell phones, you know, I never had a cell phone growing up. I was probably the last one in my family to get a cell phone. And with cell phones, I think people do more with phones than they actually talk on it. I don't know. Some people drive around and talk all day long, but you can listen to this podcast on your phone. That's incredible. I know that sounds old because you've probably done it for years, but, yeah, the Paranormal News Insider used to have an app. I think I took it off of the Android market there, but WCJV has its own app for any iOS device. That's the iPhone operating system, for those of you that don't like Apple products, iPhone, iPad, as well as for Android devices. So you can download this app. It's WCJV. You can download this on your phone, whether you have Apple or Android, and listen to the show live, archive shows, be involved in the chat, and get involved with WCJV. So go to the App Store or Google Play after the show is over. Don't do it now. Wait a second. And go and download this app. It's going to help you listen to all these great shows that are here, including this one, the Paranormal News Insider. And speaking of WCJV News, the network itself is now on iHeartRadio. So that's another way you can listen to this. It's also on iTunes. I know you've heard me talk about it here on the show, the Paranormal News Insider. I was very excited when I hit iHeartRadio, but it's another thing to have your whole entire network on there. So you can listen to all these great shows. Sometimes I'm a guest on some of these other shows that are on this network, more so than I probably am any other show. So you can hear me talk a little bit more than just 1 hour a week, possibly, potentially. And obviously this show here is through Podbean and a lot of other places, Spreaker and Stitcher, and my goodness, there's probably like 30 or 40 of these things. So I know everybody out there has their own way of listening to their favorite podcast, whether it's live or archived. I like my live stuff. I like radio shows. I like listening to things live because you never know what can happen live. Plus, sometimes things are edited out and it's kind of not fun sometimes, but I like to put out a nice raw product. For the Paranormal News Insider, we used to do my show used to be pre-recorded, but I love the live version. It's so much more unique and entertaining, I think, in a lot of different ways. But the show is spread out through all these different networks out there because I know I have my favorites. There's a lot of shows I listen to that I get from. Some I get from iTunes. Some I get from Podbean. Some I get from YouTube. Some I get from different places. But it's nice because I know some people, they just like to have just a couple of apps on their phone. So download this stuff and listen to this stuff. It's good. What else is new in the news on my end? One last thing. WCJV is also available on SoundCloud, MixCloud, YouTube. Again, I like some stuff on YouTube, not a whole lot of stuff. And started putting the Paranormal News Insider also on YouTube a couple of weeks ago. By request, somebody had asked me, hey, why do you not have a YouTube? You have a YouTube channel, but you don't use it. Why? Well, now I'm using it. So, but I'm not going to do it live on TV. Not yet. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe down the road, we'll do a live show. And I don't know. I can juggle for you on YouTube. I don't know. Anyway, another piece of news, kind of a big thing, kind of a big deal for me. Very excited to announce that my sixth book was officially published last week. I think it was last week. I don't know. It's been a long run. Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator was published, I guess last week. I don't know what day of the week it was. But after a lot of back and forth, getting this book published, getting it approved, having to get an author's copy and reviewing it and making some minor adjustments to different things. It's finally done. And it's finally done in a way because this is coming full circle with my handbook series. My first four books were on the ghost area, and then my fifth book was on Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, and now Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator, just in time for the big Kecksburg UFO Festival that's coming up Friday, July 28th through Sunday, July 30th in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. What a coincidence, right? Well, no, I kind of planned it that way. I pushed myself to get this book done just in time. That was my goal. Kind of ran over a little bit. I wanted to have this done a little bit earlier to hopefully be able to promote it on some radio shows, but kind of came up a little short. But yes, the Kecksburg UFO Festival, you can get your hands on the book there. And it's also available right now, only available through lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I don't have my link in front of me for, let's see, well, somewhere here. A page which all my books so far are on through Lulu, and you can get your hands on those. And eventually, it's going to take a couple of weeks, but it's going to be available through Amazon and through some other online retailers, so you can get your paws on it that way if that's how you like to buy books. But through Lulu is kind of the preferred method because I make a little more revenue. Not that I'm in it for the money. Not because I'm in it for the money, but Amazon has not very nice to some authors, and they kind of cut into our profits. Not that I'm complaining as an author, but you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt. And let's see here. That is, this link will work. lulu.com/spotlight/ghost help. And you can get all my books. Some of them are available as EPUBs, so you can read them on your devices. Most of them are just hard copy books. And yeah, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to promote ideas and get information out there. But very excited about this book. And, well, spoiler alert, not this week, but next week, or this coming Tuesday, I should say, it will be the book of the week. I know, I hate to ruin it, but I'll talk more about it next Tuesday. And the events listing for the Paranews Insider, Paranormal News Insider at paranewsinsider.com is updated, I think, of as of last week. So anything that's going on, I don't think there's anything going on this week. If there is, I apologize. Got to get there real quick here. I know it's kind of weird time of the year for some reason. Let's see. St. Albans, well, that's next week. Yeah, there's nothing in the ghost world. Kecksburg is this weekend in the UFOs, cryptozoology. I have nothing on the schedule till August. I've added a few. I can't remember what I added. My apologies to those people. Let's see. Haunted Bourbon. I don't remember. I added a couple of events that are throughout the United States. So if you're interested in heading to a paranormal conference convention, whether it's ghost-based, UFO-based, or cryptid-based, and some of these have a mixture of all this stuff. And I started to talk about the Kecksburg UFO Festival. That's going to have a little bit of everything. It's going to have a little bit of everything. Again, that is Friday, July 28th through Sunday, July 30th, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, close to the location where a strange UFO crash sighting occurred back in December of 1965. And I'll tell you what, Kecksburg, if you can make it, this is in the kind of around the Pittsburgh area, a little east of Pittsburgh. It's unique. It's a very unique. It's a festival. There's carnival rides, carnival food, very festive atmosphere. People come from all over for this thing. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. There's just so much that goes on here. Burnout contests and hot dog eating contests, parade on Saturday afternoon. It's just incredible. And the lineup of speakers, you have Stan Gordon kicking things off on Sunday. Then I'm up. I'm the second speaker talking about the foundation of UFO research and investigation. Colin Schneider is the third speaker on Sunday. And he's the host of Crypto Kid Radio right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting on Monday nights. And he is one of the youngest UFO researchers and cryptozoologists in the country. And he's going to be talking about Cryptozoology 101. See, so at a UFO conference where there's going to be people walking around with aluminum foil hats on, you can learn about cryptozoology. And what a better place to learn. This is near Chestnut Ridge, where a lot of crazy things have happened. Bigfoot, UFO sightings, and Bigfoot and UFO sightings together have occurred in this location for a long, long time. Fourth speaker, last but not least, Ron Murphy. What a great way to cap off a conference with Ron Murphy. I mean, author of numerous books, radio host, a professional actor, and he's been everywhere. I love his books. He's had at least three books of the week here on the Paranormal News Insider. He's going to be talking about Unexplained World of the Chestnut Ridge, a hike through Western Pennsylvania's Goblin Universe. Don't miss it. I mean, this is, you might not have ever heard of me outside of this show. You might not have ever heard of Colin before, and you may or may not have heard of Ron. Ron's getting around. He's going to be speaking at the Mothman Festival. I'm really jealous of that. Don't tell him I said that, but I've always wanted to speak there ever since I went there a few years ago. But, great, great, great guy. Very knowledgeable. Great on his folklore and his research. So if you get a chance to see him speak, do it. See him. Listen to him. Great stuff. Bring a notepad. You're going to need it. And last but not least here, Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania, August 5th. That's the weekend after. Man, I better get working on that presentation. The weekend after Kecksburg. That is just strange stuff. We're going to be talking about all kinds of weird stuff, from wacky weather to the paranormal and to all strange things in between. Not your typical paranormal conference. It's just a bunch of wacky topics. It's really interesting. I really enjoyed this last year. That's going to be in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, sort of somewhat in the same area as Kecksburg. A little town. Again, one of those things that if you blink, you miss it. And let's see. August 19th, I'll be in Ohio. Wow, back home. August 19th, I'll be speaking at the Goose Project 2.0 MS Fundraiser. A paranormal convention. It's now at the Bell Nursing Home in Kimbolton, Ohio. It was formerly at the Prospect Place Mansion in Trinway, Ohio, but now at the Bell Nursing Home in Kimbolton. Not as famous, I know, but it's still a cool location. And you can find more information if you look up the Goose Project, Goose as G-O-O-Z Project. And that'll pop up for you right away. And you'll get a lot of information about how you can get tickets, how you can get out there, and how you can meet a lot of great, great people. And I think I'm done pimping myself here. So we're going to jump into some news. We got some cryptid news. And of course, I mentioned it at the top of the show. The Chicago Phantom is back in the news. And it's a little different. This one is a little different. A police officer reports a sighting. UFO Clearinghouse received the report of an anonymous Chicago police officer and his partner that were on a routine patrol on June 29th at approximately 11:15 p.m. As the patrol car approached the intersection of West 81st and South Throop Street in the Auburn-Gresham neighborhood, they were flagged down by a group of people that were hurriedly pointing at the top of a building. As the officers exited the vehicle, this is what they reported. Normally, I like to transcribe these kind of stories, but sometimes direct quotes is the best thing. And in this case, I think this is really interesting, the way this was described. And the officer said, quote, "My partner and I look and see a large creature that was approximately 6 to 6.5 feet tall and was very thin. If it had been a human, it would have been emaciated. This thing was standing on top of the building and had what it looked like a pair of very large wings that extended out at least 8 to 10 feet from tip to tip. No discernible features. It just looked like a dark black shadow with wings. My partner and I both thought it was somebody trying to jump from the building and maybe wearing a costume of some kind. When we both shined our flashlights to try to get a better look at what we were dealing with, this thing took off into the air and flew away. As this creature flew away, headed in a southern direction, something sounded like a scream came from it, and within a matter of about 5 seconds, this creature was gone into the night. The people who initially flagged us down had said that many people in the neighborhood had seen this thing for the previous two nights, and this just happened to be the only time that it was seen in a stationary place." Unquote. The officers gathered information from the witnesses and eventually filed a report with their findings, and they say that nothing has been said about it since. It's just business as usual. Now, the officer stated he was not going to mention this to anyone other than his family, but his son discovered that other people had filed sighting reports and encouraged him to do so as well. So this is a kind of an important turn of events. You know, I've mentioned before that the more reports we get, the better picture we can get. And it just seems like each report really, you would think it would add more, but it really doesn't. It's really frustrating. But now that there's an official police report, physical police report present in the Chicago Police Department, this is an important step. And I asked Lon if somebody is going to get a copy of this police report. You know, I didn't want to cause a flurry of people, you know, asking for this, but he states that two people are trying to get a hold of it. And, you know, I don't know. Part of me is a journalist. You know, part of me is a radio show host. Part of me is an idiot at work. I don't know. But maybe I should just submit my own Freedom of Information Act thing and get a hold of my own copy of this, because this is very important. This could make or break this case. If there is no report and this person was lying, that kind of dents this whole situation. At least this one witness and the story. But unfortunately, the story is very reminiscent of a lot of the other pieces that we've been receiving through Lon Strickler at Phantoms and Monsters, as well as through UFO Clearinghouse, which has also been getting a lot of reports. MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, has also been one of the locations that's been getting reports. And I have not heard anything from them as far as what their work is on this, if anyone's actually out there physically investigating this or following up. I know Lon Strickler is following up with witnesses. Anybody who contacts him, he's contacting back and doing an interview with, which is extremely important. But this is just a really, really interesting case and really interested to see what direction this is going to go in. If this is just a long-term hoax or this is legitimate. If this is legitimate, I mean, this would be historical, first of all, a super large bat. I mean, larger than any fruit bat out there, or a person that's turned himself into a bat. That's just crazy. It's I don't know. It's against the laws of nature. So we'll have to see, and we'll keep an eye on this and keep an eye in the sky and see what we see. Kind of half tempted to have a vacation coming up. Half tempted to go out there. It's awful expensive though to stay out there, sit on a rooftop with a pair of binoculars. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Also in cryptozoology news, well, first, I always do this. I get carried away. I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you guys that are in the chat room there. So if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on this information that I'm giving out. Boom. And you guys in the chat room get the first dibs on these links. And it's not always the links that you're going to see on you know, on the Anomalist and Unexplained Mysteries and some of these other websites, because I do some research on these and sometimes I can find other ones. Obviously, this is from Phantoms and Monsters. Lon is an excellent researcher and I follow his work, especially with this. And, you know, when you get to know somebody, when you see them and meet them at conferences, conventions, you trust them a little bit more than you would other things. But he's done a fantastic job of documenting this. So highly recommend following this story through Phantoms and Monsters, as well as listening to about it here. I mean, he has his own radio show, but you know, I'm trying to keep you guys up to date on this as well. And we are going to Florida, so pack your bags, bring a hat, and bring some suntan lotion. You're going to need it. Now, I've mentioned the fact that there are free roaming rhesus macaque monkeys on the loose in Silver Springs. Well, in the Silver Springs area of Florida before here on the show. There's also free roaming monkeys in Texas and another island off the coast of South Carolina as well. But yeah, you'd have to kayak out to get to those guys. Now, it turns out that a family had a recent scary run-in with the monkeys that left them a bit scared and upset. And it's no surprise, these monkeys, for the most part, have been contained in the Silver Springs Park, and they I can't remember the name of the river. This name of this river is like 14 letters long. It's impossible to pronounce. But the Silver Springs River runs, I believe, at this area. It's like east and west. And this other river is kind of diagonal, north-south, or I should say northeast-southwest. And the monkeys are more in this other area. But now they've really just kind of spread out. And they don't really come out and say this, but pretty sure that I don't know what their names are called, the Florida Game Commission or Florida Animal Control, whatever they're called. I'm pretty sure that they kind of thin the herd a little bit and keep them from moving too far away from their center area. But it seems like they're growing out of control, not growing larger, but I think the troop is growing a little larger and growing a little bit more angry because they're stuck in this small area, confined area. Susan Ramsey of Estero, Florida, and her family had no idea. I don't know how they have no idea that there were wild monkeys in the park, even though these monkeys have been there for 75 years, and stories of their exploits in the northern part of Florida had persisted for decades, especially going as far as Tampa at times. The Ramsey family shot video of their encounter where Susan Ramsey says they did not approach the monkeys nor attempt to feed them, and has no idea why they suddenly became aggressive. Well, if you've watched this, the 2.5-minute video was shot by her son, who seems to have been captivated by the monkeys. In the first 30 seconds, he sees baby monkeys and seems to be following them around. The video then cuts to where the boy is screaming, "The monkeys are attacking us," where a woman is seen laughing as she is leaving an area where monkeys are seen congregating earlier in the video. So I'm gonna call you out on that one. I think you guys were kind of getting involved with those monkeys. And there's a couple of other details about this. But first, I want to let you know that you're tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And it's already Saturday night, so we only got a couple nights left until the Crypto Kid radio show hosted by Colin Schneider is on the air right here on WCJV. He is on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I don't care. You've never heard a show before? That's fine. It's water under the bridge. I'm going to give you a free pass on that one, because if you haven't heard it, you have to promise me that you're going to listen to it this Monday night. I mean, he's had Nick Redfern on here. He's had Jonathan Downs on here. Some of the biggest names in cryptozoology have already been on this show in his short run. But I'm telling you, this next guest, you're not going to want to miss. That is Stan Gordon. I've mentioned Stan Gordon. He's kind of the big guy there in Western Pennsylvania as far as UFO research. He's also into cryptid research and connected the Bigfoot UFO connection in Western Pennsylvania during a very interesting period of time where reports were out of control. Stan is extremely knowledgeable. He's been involved, I think it's 5 decades in research for UFOs and cryptozoology. So extremely knowledgeable guy. He's helped me out a lot. Just in some knowledge and some information and getting me into some places that really haven't been able to get into on my own. So Stan is a mentor to a lot of people. He's, again, extremely knowledgeable. You do not want to miss this show. That being said, again, Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Wednesday night, which I hyped up this show, Crypto Kid Radio Show, but I got another show between now and Wednesday. You can catch Paranormal Experience with host Kat Hobson. She's going to be talking with Greg Pollitt and Noah Moisel from the Paranormal Nights investigation team. Hopefully I didn't chop their names up too bad. Paranormal Experience with host Kat Hobson. That's Wednesday night. And again, I'll be promoting that show again between now and then. And that's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Again, all those shows and this show that you're listening to, the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, right here on WCJVradio.com. And we're going back to Florida. Yes, this video, if you've seen it, this kid running around screaming, "The monkeys are attacking us," You know, when I was reading the story, I hadn't seen the video. So I was reading the story and I was like, okay, you know, this sounds justifiable. Sounds good. You know, they claim that they've been attacked. I didn't know anything about these monkeys. Well, you know, if you watch the video closely, you see these monkeys congregating in the area. Then the film cuts and you see this woman walking through. And then the man in the background, you can see his hands over his head waving and kind of hear him yelling. If you listen, if you kind of listen past this kid hyperventilating on the video, you can hear him yelling at the monkeys. He's waving at the monkeys, trying to shoo them away. I don't know if you've been around like wild animals before. You know, that might work with a deer. Might work with maybe a raccoon, maybe not. But that, I don't really think that I would do that with monkeys. Just saying. Now, the boy, while he sounds terrified, you know, the monkeys are attacking us, he's laughing at the same time, continuously. And he keeps pointing the camera at his face, and you can see that he's smiling as he pans the camera to his face. Now, anyone who knows anything about monkeys, maybe I know too much about monkeys because of being involved in cryptozoology and seeing monkeys in the wild. Baring your teeth is not a good thing to do. No matter what you're feeling, if you're laughing, this displays aggression, whether you mean to or not. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know that. He's a kid. You know, he's trying to be a YouTube sensation. I don't know what he's trying to do. Moving into an area they're occupying, especially with infants, also probably not a good idea, no matter what kind of animal they are. Just not smart. So I get it. You've never seen a monkey before in the wild. Cool. That's great. But learn how to react. Learn how to act. It's just not good behavior. So I'm taking that off the table that the monkeys just attack these people. What I'm seeing in this video from the family is not appropriate for what's going on. You should have left them alone. Knowing or seeing that they're occupying this area, trying to shoo them away or trying to take over the area, they're probably seen as hostile. I don't know. You know, maybe I don't want to say too much. Maybe they just, you know, people just think they're entitled. I'm going to say it. You know, we think we own the world. You know, we share this planet with animals, wild animals. It's our fault that those monkeys were there in the first place. Again, we dumped those off 75 years ago. I mean, it's not their fault. It's not her fault. It's not her family's fault. But you got to live with the animals. Florida, of all places, where there are so many crazy creatures running all over the place, boa constrictors, panthers, you name it, all kinds of crazy things happening down there in Florida. I think you'd be a little familiar with this kind of stuff. Now, the boy continues to yell and laugh as the monkeys charge and growl at them and continuously charge, which is a little scary. Now, I know I've dealt with a coyote here in Ohio that kind of they like to charge. You know, I'm very curious about them. I like to see them. But then I forget how they are. They're, you know, they have instincts and they react and they like to charge. They do it whether they want to or not. It's just instinctual. You have to be careful. Now, the families continue to watch the monkeys even after being charged numerous times. And the boy continues to laugh and yell and film during the whole entire event. Again, the family claims there were no signs to warn the people. I don't know how you don't know if you live in that area. I mean, I know, and I live in Ohio. They say that there was no signs to warn people, and the monkeys were, quote, obviously aggressive, unquote. I think there needs to be a little bit more common sense when people are out in the wild or out anywhere, for that matter. Even if you're at a park, it doesn't mean, you know, humans run everything. When there are animals there. You don't go swimming in the creek because of the alligators. You have to be smart. I mean, how many times do you hear about, again, people getting charged or attacked by buffalo out west in Yellowstone when they get too close for selfies? It seems like every summer there's a story about that. A monkey might seem cute. Yes, they're cute. But they're very strong for their size, as a lot of the stories state. It can become very defensive and dangerous very quickly, especially, again, with infants. Don't get between people and their kids. You should know this. Now, the park in Silver Springs recently closed two areas of the park due to the monkeys. And the monkeys, again, were brought to the area and put on an island as part of an attraction back in the 1930s. They swam off the little island and have been living in the area since. And again, they've grown. They say that there's only 200. But I don't think that's true. There's a lot more than 200. And I think that they're moving out. They're finally expanding after all these decades of trying to keep them contained, especially with people moving in closer to their area. Now, related to this, a man from nearby Ocala, Florida, reported to WFTV News that the rhesus monkeys have consumed over 250 pounds of deer feed in just a few days from his backyard feeder. The monkeys have flocked to a deer feeder where they have learned how to expedite the corn coming out of the feeder in order to allow the entire troop, which he estimates to be about 50 monkeys, to get enough food. Experts again say that the Silver Springs area has around 200 monkeys, but 50 flocking to one small area, that's, I think there's a lot more going on there. And unfortunately, I think they're going to have to step in and do something about that. I mean, they're an invasive species. They shouldn't be here anyway. And they all have diseases. So if you go down there, be very, very careful. I've always wanted to go down there and kayak down the river because in the river, the Silver Springs River is very clear. It's a spring-fed water. It's where the glass-bottom boat was actually invented. And you can go, and even if you're in a kayak, you can see straight down to the floor. You can see the alligators. You can see manatee. You can see all the land-dwelling animals as well. It just sounds like a really good time. And then you got the monkey swinging over your head. Kind of crazy. And let me throw one of these links in the chat room for you guys. And again, these links I'm talking about putting in the chat room, I will be feeding these out throughout the week. Again, a short week here for the show. So it's between now and Tuesday that all these stories will get to Facebook and Twitter. So follow me at Paranews Insider on Facebook or Twitter and Paranews Insider on Facebook. And you'll get all these stories to you as quickly as you can. And UFO news, SETI, which stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Some people say silly effort to investigate. Typically, SETI uses a radio telescope to search for random signals in space, signifying a communication from an intelligent race. Well, SETI has also conducted experiments searching for signals in the form of high-powered lasers from deep space. Now, the SETI Institute has now set up an Indiegogo fundraising campaign geared toward deploying full-time detection devices in various places on Earth so that we can search for laser signals all the time and from nearly everywhere, which I think is important. The SETI Institute is looking to raise $100,000 for this effort. Now, on Tuesday, before my computer melted down, I saw that they had raised nearly $25,000 from 130 backers with 25 days left in their campaign. And just before the show tonight, on Saturday night, it was just over $34,000 by 210 backers, with just 20 days left in the campaign. Is it a worthwhile cause? Well, I mean, if you're going to do it, this is the way to do it. If you're going to search for lasers blasting from other planets, I don't know. This kind of reminds me of Star Wars. Lasers being shot toward our direction, it's the way to do it. It sounds pretty cheap, too. $100,000 may sound like a lot of money, but trust me, you give me a rental car and a nice weekend, and I could probably go through that pretty quick. It's really not that much money when you kind of divvy it out and look at it. But if you're going to do it right. I mean, some of their searches have been very limited, small windows of time, small windows of area. It's not really worth it, I don't think. So doing something all the time and from nearly everywhere, these devices put up in different places on the planet, I think it's a worthwhile in that regard. But then I'm not really a huge fan. I think it's kind of almost a waste. But again, if you're going to do it right. And I think this is the right way to do it. I just don't know how many alien civilizations are blasting lasers out into space. I know we like to shoot the moon with lasers. But yeah, I don't know. I think we have more important things to do with lasers than just kind of shoot them into space. And that doesn't include the people that are using lasers to try to blind pilots as they're flying over. I mean, I'm talking like super high powered lasers. And it would take an awful powerful laser to travel throughout space. And not, you know, space isn't completely empty. There's stuff floating around out there. Temperature changes, junk flying through space. I don't know. I just, you know, we're whizzing around the sun. We're moving pretty fast. We're spinning out of control. I just don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. But I mean, $100,000, it's not a huge investment. So yeah, go for it. And if you're interested in donating to that, getting your claim to fame here, Indiegogo.com/projects/LaserSETI, first ever all sky, all the time, search science pound. Well, you'll get the link later on. It's complicated. And if you're in the chat room, boom, there you go. There it is. We'll keep an eye on that. Again, 20 days left in this, so we'll see. I mean, they're almost halfway there. Not quite. 34,000 out of 100,000. Yeah, we'll see. 20 days left. Yeah, they're close. They're close. We'll see. We'll see. I hate to see things like that fail. I mean, it is science, so, you know, I support that. And in other news, this is one you got to talk about. You probably already heard about this, but I got to clarify this because we've been covering this story for a while. I've been talking about Amelia Earhart for quite a while on this show for years. It's one of the topics, hot topics. Again, obviously, we talked about the special on the History Channel last week, and I stayed up and watched it kind of pace back and forth in front of the TV and was arguing with my television for the 2 hours. And, you know, how I said there were some questionable findings on this show. I knew that, and I said that right away a couple of days after it was on the air. And then, of course, the news picked up all this stuff. And we know about the picture that was kind of the cornerstone of their evidence. And they spent a lot of time trying to make sure that it was not created. It was not a hoaxed photo. And they spent a little time to say, oh, this is definitely Amelia because her shoulders and her head match these lines that we're drawing. So it looks scientific and sciencey. I was not convinced by that. I felt that there could be potentially another explanation for this photograph. Maybe not them. Even if it was them, maybe it's a different time. I don't know. It just didn't seem right. Didn't feel right. Didn't seem like they did a lot of work, a lot of research behind this photograph. Well, a Japanese military history buff named Koda Yamano quickly researched the photograph that was at the center of the History Channel documentary and found that it was, in fact, very misleading. The blogger discovered that the photo that is purportedly of Earhart and Fred Noonan was actually published in 1935 in a Japanese travel book. Yes, 1935. That's 2 years prior to the disappearance of Earhart and her navigator. I'm waiting for somebody to say that they traveled back in time. You know, they disappeared and popped up 2 years in the, I don't know. Somebody's going to say that. It's silly. So this obviously is not a photograph of them, as a lot of people thought. Spokesperson Kirby Dixon said on behalf of the History Channel, quote, ultimately, historical accuracy is most important to us and our viewers. Unquote. Okay. The guys aren't watching Ancient Aliens. Well, you might have done a little more research on the photograph before saying matter-of-factly that it was Earhart and Noonan, which they did numerous times. And they actually said that. This is matter-of-factly Earhart and Noonan. I mean, I wouldn't let them say that or edit it out. You guys edit everything else out. The History Channel says that it is aware of this new information and is investigating this new claim. And it also comes out that they pretty much canceled this documentary from reappearing anytime soon. They got caught. The History Channel. If the History Channel can't get history right, who can you trust? Well, sad. Well, hopefully we don't give up on the story. I mean, I think it's kind of fruitless at this point, but it's fun. It's just fun to think about the potential that we can find somebody that's been missing this long. I mean, a giant plane disappeared in the same region 3 years ago. We still haven't found that yet. But we're not going to give up on this little prop plane and these two people that crashed back in 1937. It's a conspiracy. I don't know. Maybe it is. Now, speaking of conspiracies, a harmless story appeared online on Sunday. Would be a week ago tomorrow. And this was kind of annoying. The article was dated from Monday. And again, it appeared on Sunday. And the headline read, quote, "Dead Bigfoot confirmed at Elephant Butt Lake, New Mexico," unquote. I saw the story shared a number of times on Facebook, and on the page itself, it says that the story was shared about 150,000 times. I haven't checked since then or since making the story, so it's probably a lot more than that by now. And the website was very recognizable. I've seen a lot of stuff come from this website. And it's from breakingnews365.net. And don't even bother going there. It's not a legitimate news site. It's not even a parody site. I mean, The Onion, everybody knows what The Onion is. They create these far-flung stories that are just way far away from fact, that they're just funny and ridiculous. Sometimes The Onion does get in trouble, though. But at least you know what that is. It's a parody news site. Breakingnews365.net. Is in fact, it's a website where people can create fake stories for fun. So they're doing it on purpose. And it also brings the actual website profit through click-throughs. So the more outrageous the story is, that's great for them because they earn money and you don't. I, for one, don't find this funny when people are peddling these stories, trying to make it sound like something is really happening. I mean, this is just fake news or falsified information that many people believe is real, and then they pass it off as such. The story in question obviously never happened, but what readers should know is that the purported Bigfoot body shown in the photograph, this is the part that kind of angers me a little bit. It actually belonged to a 25-year-old Irish woman who was raped and then killed with a beer bottle in March of this year while visiting India. Think about that the next time you're just peddling stuff that you just see on the internet and just push it out without looking at it. There are sometimes real people behind this stuff that's fake. Reports are that the woman, identified as Danielle McLaughlin, had left Ireland to backpack around the world just 1 month prior. The murderer has been apprehended and, according to police, has admitted to killing the woman. But using this photograph for a fake story about Bigfoot, you know, and this website lets them do that. I don't know. It's just, I have a problem with that. Now, another story has also been posted with the same picture titled "Dead Dog Man Confirmed at Sires Lake, Irons, Michigan." So two different stories. I don't know if it's the same person. I don't think there's an author attached to these particular stories, but more than likely it's the same person, just using different locations. Or maybe somebody saw it and just copied it and did their own little take on it. And these stories both fooled people in these areas to thinking that this was a legitimate story, and also fooled a lot of people on Facebook who maybe have never seen stories pop up from this website before. I've seen, as soon as I see it, I usually don't even click on it unless I know people that are sharing it. Then, you know, I kindly kind of correct them on it, trying to be nice about it, but not trying to be mean at the same time. But now at the bottom of the website, if you scroll all the way past the stories, it says, quote, "This website is an entertainment website. News are created by users These are humorous news, fantasy, fictional, that should not be seriously taken or as a source of information, unquote. Yeah, humorous to use the photograph of a 25-year-old rape victim who was murdered. Not humorous, not to me at least. But when someone shares a story with the intention of fooling someone into thinking something happened that did not, it's hard not to use that as a source of information. The site should state that it's not a legitimate news source up front. But what would be the fun in that? Unfortunately, people are very gullible. And if someone falls for a story and then shares it, others will think it could be legitimate based on who shares it. The next thing you know, this fake story becomes a fact to many people. They might not ever look back on it and say, oh, it's proven fake. Oh, okay. No, they're telling their friends, hey, did you hear about Bigfoot guy? They found it. Dead body. I saw a picture of it. Now, the next thing you know, this fake story becomes a fact to many people. In the long run, they spread it. They talk about it at the water cooler, on the school bus, wherever, online. They tweet about it. And it slowly infects the culture and becomes factual to a lot of people. And looking at other stories on the site, there's also one that says that Charles Manson has been released on parole. No, he's not. The website BreakingNews365.net and BreakingNews247.net have been used in a number of stories that have caused public scares, from shark sightings in lakes to falsified accounts of rape in schools, which has caused some internal investigations into schools and teachers, which is not humorous. Accusing a men's social club as being a brothel, which ruined business for this company or this social club. Again, not funny, not humorous, and has also caused a lot of other public issues. Folks, that's just from two websites that create misinformation. And there are literally dozens of these websites out there, and I see them frequently. Try to correct this as I see it and warn people about certain websites, but there's so many of them. I mean, I could go on. There's theparanormal.com, timeforeverything.org, topconspiracies.com, twofeed.com, ufoworld.tv, a lot of UFO stuff. Got to be careful. Any website that's just UFO based, it's probably what they call, I like this term. It's called a parasite. A parasite. A parasite is a paranormal website creating and exploiting fake news for profit. A parasite. I love that. I think that's awesome. And that comes from ufotheater.com, which is not a bad website. It's actually one that is exposing a lot of these other websites for doing this exploiting fake news for profit. So always be careful. And if you're not sure, ask me. I'll research it. I love doing that stuff. I like looking at these websites and exposing the fake story and just kind of getting people to understand that not everything you read on the internet is true. It's not. Trust me. Book of the week. Let's jump into that arena real quick. Now you may wonder, well, you just released a book, Brian, Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator. Why is that not your book of the week? Well, I've concentrated on cryptozoology, ghosts, parapsychology, UFOs, a little bit of science and space. But I realized last week, actually a couple of weeks ago, I should say, more accurately, I heard that Dr. Spencer Johnson, author of the book Who Moved My Cheese, I don't know if you've heard of that, he passed away. That was a few weeks ago. And I realize that I've not done very much in the way of self-help or other types of books involving leadership in general. And you may say, well, okay, well, what does leadership have to do with the paranormal? That's kind of weird. Well, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of all types of paranormal groups, from ghost investigation groups to UFO groups, cryptozoology groups, Bigfoot groups, you name it. There's all sorts of paranormal groups out there. Many of you listening tonight might lead a group or want to lead your own group, or maybe you've led groups and have, like myself, and been very frustrated when things don't go right. Understanding that leadership is a lot more than being the boss or being in charge is extremely important to anyone who wants to lead a group. And, you know, I wish I'd talked more about leadership and gotten more leadership books, but this has kind of spurred me on to kind of look at that, add that to the mix of books here that I talk about on the Book of the Week, which has grown to a very important segment to me. A lot of people comment on a couple of things, not so much the content of what I talk about as much as the books of the week and the conventions, which is weird because that's, to me, is just filler between the news. But it's obviously an important part of the show. It's an integral part of what I talk about, especially being involved as a presenter of conventions. And a very, unfortunately, collector of many paranormal books and all kinds of books. I have way too many books. Way too many books. Almost as many books as I do shirts from when I go on vacation from weird places. Anyway, leadership is a skill. Now, we've heard of natural-born leaders, but even natural leaders have learned skills along the way to make them a more pleasurable person to work for or even work with. Now, leadership is a combination of being a good communicator, being fair, being firm, being consistent with people, being consistent with your attitude and your actions, being organized, being engaging, holding people accountable, delegating. Did I say delegating? Well, I should say it twice anyway. Training and educating people, being a sound decision maker, and most importantly, people overlook this part, but having the ability to adapt to change. Very important. Of all the leadership skills that I've seen that are lacking with paranormal groups is the ability to adapt to change and change away from the beliefs of the individuals. I mean, it makes most groups fail out there. Many people who investigate the paranormal slowly realize that the tools don't work the way they do on TV, or they don't really work at all. It's not what you think. It's a facade. It's just for entertainment. You know, or how other groups tell you they do when they don't. They realize that they have wasted a lot of times doing things the way others have because it's the culture of things. It's the way it's being done. When groups don't challenge beliefs, they begin to grow stale. And that's why the downfall of a lot of paranormal groups, one by one, the people realize that, you know what, this really isn't getting what we think it is, and they move on. One by one, people just move on. And if you don't adapt, you don't change, you don't evolve as an individual within a group, and you don't challenge the status quo out there, that's when your group will ultimately fail. I mean, some people are happy living in this whirlwind of let's just keep doing things the same way, but people that want to be challenged or want to grow will grow stale with that kind of continuation. Now, Spencer Johnson passed away on July 3rd at 78 years of age. He was the author of the famous book, you might have heard of this one, The One-Minute Manager. And it was a series of books, I think two or three books, along with Ken Blanchard. Now, Johnson's most famous book, without a doubt, was Who Moved My Cheese? I know, it sounds weird. If you've never heard of this before, it just sounds weird. The book was published way back in September of 1998 and quickly became one of the highest-rated self-help books for managers and those who want to climb the corporate ladder. Now, I was managing an electronics department in a big box retail store at the time, back in 1998, and it was kind of like recommended reading. It was recommended reading back then that we get involved with this book. And, you know, the self-help book, the corporate kind of self-help book was really one of the biggest things out there as far as books were concerned. And this book has gone on to sell more than 26 million copies worldwide in 37 languages and remains one of the best-selling business books of all time. Now, if you haven't read this book, highly recommend it. No matter what you do, even if you're not trying to climb the corporate ladder, even if you don't really have a problem dealing with change, it'll actually help you deal with other people who don't know how to deal with change. And I know for me, when I first read it, I thought it was stupid. I didn't want to read it. I had other things I was reading at the time. And I just was like, well, you know, whatever. I'll just sit here and read it. And I kind of got sucked in. And it was really, really interesting. And I noticed some parts of myself and some of these characters, not in a good way, but it did open my eyes to things. And you have to take it for what it is on the surface level. Some people complain about this book and try to say that it's it compares to people being trapped in a maze of life and that we're just mice. But, you know, don't dig down too deep on that. Just look at the surface level. It's just a book trying to correlate information in an interesting way. Now, Who Moved My Cheese is about four characters, two mice named Sniff and Scurry, and two tiny humans named Hem and Haw. And all four are stuck in a maze and are reliant upon cheese. The maze in the story relates to your work or your life in general. It's where we're stuck. It's where we're at. It's where we live our lives. The cheese relates to happiness or whatever else you want in life that keeps you going. And we all need cheese in our lives. It keeps us going. But when the cheese suddenly runs out or we can't find it, many of us act in different ways. Now, within the story, the four different characters, we see different reactions to how we deal with not only change, but how we adapt to being content within our own world or how others anticipate change before it can affect them. The story really digs into how we react to situations in life and work using this simple little story about four little characters stuck on a maze looking for cheese. Yeah, it seems silly when you begin reading it, but as you read or even watch it, there's a video that I'm going to share a link with. It's on YouTube. If you look it up on YouTube, Who Moved My Cheese, there's a couple of videos you can find. They're short. They're like 10, 12 minutes. I think one's like 16 minutes. It's entertaining. Some people don't like to read. I get it. I'm sure you can relate to some of these situations and the reactions of some of these characters. And this is kind of what got me when I was reading this. And not saying that this helped grow me into a business person or a new person or whatever, but it does open your eyes to some of the limitations that we have put on ourselves and can help you grow as a leader or as a person in life. And there's a lot of sayings that deal with the realizations of the characters in the book, short one-liners that kind of describe different things that they're going up against. Realizing how you react and what can help you become more able to adapt to change, no matter how big or small. Very important little things you learn in this book. Again, I know that those things were huge back in the 90s, all these self-help books. Now it's all about The Secret and all that other junk, garbage. Well, that's not going to work. Well, no, that'll work. Click the link there in the chat room. I got the keywords in there, but you'll figure that out. And I'll share the YouTube video in here. It's quite entertaining. It's interesting to see. It's a little cartoon, a few minutes long. You can watch that at your leisure. And again, all these links, if you're listening to an archive show or you're not able to listen live, you're driving down the street listening to, watch out for the duck. Whew, you almost hit that duck. You're driving down the street listening to the show or however you're listening to this. Again, all these links will be on through the Facebook page for the Paranormal News Insider, facebook.com/Paranews Insider. Why are you not following me? Or if you prefer Twitter, @Paranews Insider. And they're connected. So anything I do on Facebook pops up on Twitter, but not vice versa, not the other way around. But, you know, you got to cover your bases. Got to cover your bases with all this stuff. And let's see. Well, that's it. That's the news. Wow. It's over. It's done. It's an hour. And as I always say each and every week, and I mean this, I just don't say it. Big thanks to Cindy, my producer, and to Dita in the chat room. I don't think Paul's there. Paul's taking the night off. That's fine. He can get the night off. What? I'm missing cartoons in here. Well, there's cartoons in the chat room. I'll read that in a second. Everybody in the chat room, thank you very much for tuning in live and anyone else tuning in tonight. otherwise, or later on, the archives. And remember, you can listen to the Paranormal News Insider and the rest of WCJV Digital Broadcasting Network on the WCJV app. Look for it. Available on iOS and Android devices. So go to your respective stores, download this app in about 5 minutes. And WCJV can now be heard on iHeartRadio and iTunes. And is also available through SoundCloud, MixCloud, YouTube, and many other podcasting apps. And if your favorite app does not carry WCJV, let them know. I want to hear it. And then let us know as well. We'll try to do what we can for you guys. So that being said, I'll see you on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern for next week's Paranormal News Insider. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.